We're back with Lake Effect Weekend. I'm Bonnie North. As Wisconsinites, we're lucky to have access to some really stellar museums. Our state boasts nationally and internationally recognized institutions like the Milwaukee Art Museum, Ten Chimneys and Genesee Depot, and Madison's Chazen Museum of Art. While researchers travel far and wide to look at artifacts and materials like the Racine Art Museum's renowned collection of contemporary crafts and the Wisconsin Historical Society's vast Civil War holdings. We know what we as adults can learn from museums and similar institutions, but what is the role of a museum when it comes to the youngest of us? Is it to expose them to historical artifacts or to help them develop a sense of who and where they are in the present? Material culturalist Jonifer Fields set out to find some answers and learn what meaning, if any, historical objects have for kids. For help, Fields went to the Madison Children's Museum, which features a unique early learning area. The museum's staff, including early learning coordinator Cheryl DeWelt, are experts at introducing children, even infants, to objects during a crucial point in their development. The museum is in the old Montgomery Ward building near the Capitol, and many of the exhibits are created from materials from the original store. DeWelt told Fields that the museum's goal is to reuse materials found, made, and grown in Wisconsin to help the state's youngest residents develop a sense of the place where they live.
This is my window to my world, which is right outside my office door, and I work in a space that's for early learners birth to 5 years old, and we built our space entirely out of natural materials made locally harvested, so for best optimal neural development for our youngest visitors. So everything in this space is wood harvested from the woods, kiln dried, and brought here. All of our stone is local Wisconsin stone. There's thatch and straw and clay and mud and water. So everything kids will find in this space is a natural material. And they can be inside playing, but also make connections to outside of where to find materials so they can do these things on their own.
Is this museum set up in a way that, because this age is considered the building block age, is this area the entrance or the building block to the rest of the museum?
It is, and it also scaffolds learning, so kids can come down in this place and do imaginary play with chickens. They can learn about food from the garden to the market to the table by playing with our vegetables that are made out of felted sweaters, and they can plant them in the garden, take them from the goat cart to the market, and then cook on them in our little hut that we have. We also have historical objects. We like to embed them in our exhibits in different ways. And we have the history of the museum, so we have a Montgomery Ward dress-up window from 1929 where kids can put on vintage clothing and pretend like they're in the window of a store. And then we have a log cabin where we worked with third graders on their local history textbook. In each of the exhibits, you'll find historical objects, but you'll also find natural objects and recycled objects and things that kids can see how to repurpose things in different ways, which we find really important in our throwaway society, that kids can actually find things to just reuse in all kinds of ways. And coming here and getting ideas and being here with their parents, this is one of the things that would resonate with them.
And what I'm noticing, a lack of, is that we call them tombstone tags. It's the little tag that goes with every object in the museum that says, this is made out of sticks and stones, and it may, you know, by Fred Bones, and, you know, it won't hurt you, but it was made in 1843. I don't see that sort of thing here. And I know that some of these kids may be too young to read, but there's not that either directed to the parents. Is that a conscious decision?
It is. We have signage throughout the museum. In this area, it's more about things you can do with your child, like loving and learning and playing and building. Everything is in both languages, but it's for parents to read to get ideas of how to play with their kids. We have some signage around different exhibits, but we try to keep signage to a minimal so that kids and parents can figure out how to use the things in their own ways. We also have a non-mobile infant area, so our non-mobile infants can be safe away from all the running kids. And then up there is an air cannon in the treehouse, so older kids can shoot air at the butterflies, and non-mobile infants can get tracking skills with their neck and track with their eyes when the butterflies start to flap, but they're on their back.
So there really is a connection for these kids, not only how these things are used within the museum, but how they could possibly be used outside of the museum.
Historically, goat carts were kid-driven carts back in the 1800s, and even your smallest kids could take things to market in a goat cart. And so we wanted to respond to that history by bringing a goat cart in here for our kids so that they could drive the stuff to market for pretend. Little huts that surround the goat cart. We made out of cob, which is a building of straw, clay, and sand. And it's a natural building material that people are starting to go back to and use around the country. We also built a cordwood building. We try to use all different kinds of natural building in here for kids just because it's really beautiful, and kids should be allowed to play in beautiful places, and for parents because it'll inspire different things they could do at home and ways to live sustainably beyond being at the museum. We get a lot of people who come in just to look at our natural building and how we do it so that they can go home and replicate it.
Is this, do you think that calling this space, it's so interactive, it's so lively, it's so vibrant in its natural way, is this really challenging the idea of what a museum could be?
It's to challenge it and to show there's so many different ways that you can make things. You don't just have to go fiberglass and plastic and primary colors if you're coming up with something for kids. We used over 100 artists to build the museum. And really, it's just to show that places that kids play should be beautiful. If you're watching a budget ever, which most people are watching budgets when they build things, you can get things recycled for way less. Even our water dome that we have over there, where water rains down a glass bubble onto a glass shingled roof, into glass gutters and down rain chains, where kids can then play and learn science and math through playing with the water. For kids, they can see how water works. And for grown-ups, they can learn about different ways to use recycling. We took all the windows for the water dome out of the old building when we deconstructed the building and then built our exhibits out of some of the things that we pulled out.
There's a cow jumping over the bone.
Yep, so at our old museum, right at the end of closing, we had a polling place where kids got to vote on their three favorite exhibits that we'd bring to the new museum. And one they picked was the cow. And we thought it would be fun to put it on a hoist and have the counterbalance be things that come from cows. And we really try to connect kids locally to Wisconsin, since this is where they're from. And so by adding things like cows, we have a train that goes around, but all the pictures behind the train are local areas around Madison, Cherokee Marsh, and the Dells, and the Capitol, and different things. So again, kids can connect to their sense of place.
Contributor Jennifer Fields studies material culture at UW-Madison and is the curator of It's a Material World. That project is funded by the Chipstone Foundation, a decorative arts foundation whose mission is preserving and interpreting their collection, as well as stimulating research and education in the decorative arts. Fields spoke with Cheryl DeWelt, early learning coordinator at the Madison Children's Museum. There is a link to that museum's website at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And that is all the time we have today. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for making us a part of your afternoon. Lake Effect Weekend airs every Saturday and Sunday from 3 to 4 in the afternoon, and you can hear our weekday version of the show at 10 in the morning. It's all on 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned now for Weekend All Things Considered. It's coming up next.